Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
I'm Big Jay Oakerson.
And I'm Dan Soder. You can listen to a full 2-hour-long episode of The Bonfire on SiriusXM or with the SXM app. It's easy. Go to SiriusXM.com/bonfire for a special offer.
And now, The Bonfire with Big Jay Oakerson and Dan Soder.
Everybody, the star of Limp Bizkit's Break Stuff video, joining us here on The Bonfire for the first time, everybody. It is the great Pauly Shore.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Pauly's in town for the New York Comedy Festival, everybody, and he has a show tonight, 9:30 p.m. Doors open at 9. It's at Asylum NYC. That's at 307 West 26th Street, New York, New York. And, of course, if you want to mail him a letter, I guess.
Yeah.
And that is tonight again at 9:30 p.m. Get tickets
now.
No,
no, no. They're going for free for me.
But do they have to reserve?
Most people have to pay, but for your people, free tonight. Just go and see what happens.
Yeah, dude, just go and say you heard on the bonfire. It's
yeah,
free.
Just say it's free.
Yeah, go Pauly on the bonfire.
Take my voice. If you don't, start recording my voice.
Give them five. Get your phones out. Go to the recorder.
I like him better than Lewis already.
Woo!
Dude.
Yeah,
Gomez.
This guy knows how.
He's a more positive energy for sure.
This guy knows how to grease the wheels. All right,
dude,
now
thank you, sir.
Now
thank
turn
you.
On your voice memo. Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Paul. Yo, what's up, Alan? This is Pauly Shore. Alan is in charge of the asylum.
Okay.
And this gentleman or female or whoever's got the audio of on their iPhone, on their iPhone, let them come in free, dude. I'm just saying it. Let them come in free.
And that's,
I'm on the bonfire.
Yeah.
And let's just see what happens. So let this gentleman or this beautiful female right now, they can go in free to my show.
It's going
to
be a
madhouse. Stick with the dancing. Stick with the
dancing. It's going to be a madhouse.
Really?
And cut. Good. All right, now save that file. put it in your you know, photo album, and then go to the asylum on 26th Street tonight. Doors open at 9 p.m. and go check out Pauly Shore.
You find the biggest, blackest security guard, and you tell him to get the fuck out of your way.
And then you play him this voicemail.
And Jeff Ross will be there, too.
There you go.
He might be on stage, too.
Oh, yeah? Oh, very, very cool. Well, welcome to New York, dude.
Thank you, bro. It took me hard to get into this fucking building, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a whole thing.
Double security, they get you.
Yeah, it's what? Like there's two levels to pass. You got to get downstairs, pass downstairs, and then you got to get past.
On here again. Like, I tell you what, the building is alive with celebrity again. That's what it was.
When it first started, I was probably the first guest in this fucking building back in the day. I mean, I remember when they bought Sirius was launched.
Yeah, in 05.
Because I remember. I mean, I was on MTV and there was a big transition and Howard pretty much took this brand
and just
fucking labeled it big, and then everyone kind of, you know, I mean, Jenny McCarthy, I mean, I don't know, I've been coming here for since it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Howard first came on, I was, you know, I've been on Howard so many times back in the 90s, and then he came on here, and then I did tons of stuff with him here.
How crazy.
You know, which was fucking awesome. So this is a great building.
Yeah.
And I just saw Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
I said, Conan, what's up? And he's just kind of flipped me off. He said, keep moving, bro. No, that's cool.
How was, because I grew up, obviously, I'm a big fan, but watched you on MTV Spring Break.
Mm.
That was, how crazy was that back in the day?
That was kind of like a, you know, I feel like, you know, the lottery.
Yeah, that put
you know, it was kind of like, it was
Caligula.
Well, it was, you know, I was in my 20s and I'd been doing my stand-up and trying to create my own style, my own thing. And then MTV found me, and then we started, you know, doing late night VJ spots. And then my show just took off, and it just took off. Yeah. And there was nothing like it. And I was the first, I think I was the first West Coast kind of personality
yeah.
to join MTV. Because if you remember back then, you know, MTV was very East Coast. You had Ken Ober, you had Kevin Seal, you had, you know, the
well, even Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn, you had the Yo MTV rap guys, you had Kurt Loder, East Coast. And then I came out West Coast.
Yeah.
And that was fucking,
and it was such like the California was, yeah. like character thing. It was so which was great.
Yeah.
And also like so funny for the time. You also had a comedic background. I thought that was so funny when they tried like after your time on MTV, they tried, remember the Jesse Camp?
Yeah.
They just tried to like manufacture like another kind of like eccentric character like that.
Yeah,
and it just didn't work at all.
Yeah, he's that was interesting. That was when they did the contest.
Yeah,
I guess I want to be a VJ, which I thought was pretty cool. Was a pretty cool contest. But whatever it is that I did just worked.
Yeah.
You know, it just flowed and it just worked. And I think
Well, I just remember like watching, you know, I grew up in Colorado and you're just like watching this MTV Spring Break and I was like just hitting puberty. So it was like you put on MTV and then Pauly Shore's partying at Spring Break and you're like, dude, that looks fucking fun.
It was.
It looked like.
But you came up through comedy too, which I think is a big difference of someone like a, like that Jesse kid. You know what I mean? Like you were, you knew how to entertain. Also a thing. They thought it was like, oh, just put a video on this like weird guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it just didn't work at all. Because I mean, you skyrocketed out of like MTV, which was great.
It was, yeah, it was a special time.
Yeah.
You know, it was, nowadays we call it going viral.
Yeah.
You know, like back then.
I mean, but I don't think like younger people understand like that. How important MTV was. It was like it was for, you would go watch it to learn, especially if you were in like not in a New York or LA.
Oh yeah.
Well, Chris Rock even said that MTV was bigger than Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was for sure.
It because everyone watched it. You just put it on and it was like something that you could put on and leave on your
TV.
And
it was fucking huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking Eddie Murphy hosting the MTV Awards.
Yeah.
You're talking Pee Wee Herman right after he got caught jerking off.
Yeah.
Opening Coming the out, fucking yeah. show. Going, have you guys ever heard a good joke lately? I mean, this is...
It was huge.
And you had NXS and you had U2 and Madonna and all these big bands. It was
It's
massive.
Like if you took every award show now and put it... There was like two award shows. There was like the Oscars and the MTV Movie Awards, which was like for the younger people.
The Music Awards.
Music Awards. Yeah, but I mean, and the Movie Awards. When they started doing the Movie Awards, that was big.
But too. I don't think that ever really caught as much as the VMAs. They still are. It's just always... It's going to appeal to the young audience, and it's not going to be as massive. I mean, it was like... The VMAs, I mean...
Rage climbing up the thing and protesting.
Dude, Marilyn Manson coming out when he did was dude, the Beautiful People was one of the wildest things ever.
Insane.
Yeah.
But that's also in the music video era. You played, you know, Limp Bizkit's Break stuff. I mean, Fred was so fucking awesome when he came onto the scene. He was producing and directing all his own videos. And this was back when TRL was like such a big deal with Carson. And the music video world before the internet world was such a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I mean, major directors came out.
Yeah, Britney Spears is coming out with a big video, or Christina Aguilera, or... You know, or NSYNC, you know, it was just like this big fucking deal.
And everyone went to the premiere.
And then, and then everyone would gather around Times Square and you would look down on them and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it would be like TRL and it was like fucking, it was yeah.
It was funny.
Then Steve Jobs fucked it up for everyone, pretty much. What?
He made everyone fuck it up.
I'm telling you, dude, what a piece of shit this guy was.
Guy was like, do you like your privacy? Fuck that shit.
Right?
Watch this.
It's like,
do you want? You can get a lot of music though.
You know, being so like music adjacent in like the rock world of the time, but not being a musician, was anybody like, even if you don't have to name names, but was anybody like a dick like to you, like really not embrace you at all?
I mean, I don't want to throw people under the bus.
No, that's what I'm saying, but some people were just kind of like cast off of, because I can see people just being like, I've been in that. I've been the comedian in a very music thing and try to like, you know, hey guys, awesome watching you this past month on this show. Maybe we'll bullshit for a little while. And they're like, beat it, fat shit. Like,
yeah, okay. The good part about my shtick is is that I play the victim, so I was always shitting on myself.
Right.
So like, oh, here comes Pauly. Like I did a thing with Alice Cooper, where like, you know, it's all, he just shit on me. Everyone just shit on me.
Yeah.
So it kind of made sense. It's kind of like you talk about me getting punched in Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
Son-in-Law was such a great, I don't want to use the word, I played the victim.
No, but you're the underdog.
You're cheering for him the whole movie.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, was always my thing. That's what the wheeze was. Like, yo, dude, can I come in, please?
Yeah.
And then we go, get the fuck out of here, you piece of shit. Ah, why'd you hurt me? So which is that whole kind of thing, which is, you know, I try to, you know, when I work with assistants and I work with producers and I'm like, dude, I'm the one that fucking gets shit on. Like, I play the victim. Like, right. Even there's this Carrot Top bit that I did with Carrot Top recently, and I had to really direct him on, you know, me taking over Vegas. You know, the whole bit is about, like, dude, you're tired. No one wants you fucking here anymore. Give me your fucking spot. It's enough, bro. And then he just fucking shits on me. But there's a lot of times where we start laughing, and I have to edit all of it out. It's kind of like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know, it's all played, but it's all scripted.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of like the MTV stuff was. Believe it or not, it was scripted. Like if I would, like for instance, there'd be stuff like, you know, like if I was doing a bit with Flea from the Chili Peppers, and he's like on the beach playing volleyball, and I would be like, "Yo, dude, I come up and just shit on me, no matter what."
Yeah,
I'm
gonna annoy you.
I'm gonna fucking just piss you off. Just act bigger than you ever. And I'm like, all right, and actually, hey, bro, da 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 da. And then he would just shit on me, and then it'd give me something to react.
Yeah.
So actors react, and that's what I did, and it worked, you know.
It worked great. You know, you're saying as far as one of your first acting roles, because we did such a funny 6 degrees of separation here when we, over the quarantine.
You're way better on this podcast than the other one, by the way. I mean, just so you know, I would get rid of those fucking guys. No, you don't need that Lewis. Shit. Plus, they can't get to you. You're in this corporate building.
That's Jay.
They
can't get up here, yes.
Yeah,
that's true.
Lewis can't get in here, dude. No. I think I'm going to start a podcast with Lewis.
Yeah. See, we said, yeah.
I'll be like, yo, they shit on you, bro, so you're with the Wheeze now.
It's me and you.
Dude, that'd be hilarious. East Coast, West Coast would be fucking hilarious.
I'm telling you right now, if
you'd be best, be friends forever or enemies in the first week.
No,
you
know? I love that guy. I don't even know him. I love him.
He's the best.
He's great.
And if you clip off that audio of what you just said, which we're recording, and give it to Lewis, he's gonna run you down and be like, Doggy, we're doing a podcast.
But I'll do it. Weasel, I love him. I like him.
He goes, Weasel, well, let's do it. East Coast, West Coast.
I like him. But he's adorable.
So me, Ari, Shafir, and Dan over the quarantine, just for like a fun thing, we're like, we were just home constantly. We were doing this show. We were just so many hours a day at home. We were like, you know, let's do a thing that'll be a fun. Let's watch a TV show, and we'll do a weekly. You know, we'll have the fans will watch the show weekly. Mm-hmm. Go back to an old show. We talked about doing.
We put a poll up, and it was Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh, wow, that's
the original.
We were thinking about doing Quantum Leap, the original Quantum Leap, and then 21 Jump Street.
Oh, wow.
And we landed on 21 Jump Street, and we got through about three seasons of in quarantine of the podcast once a week. A bunch of people watching along. There was a whole Discord that was going on. It was great. And in one episode, just very randomly, you were one of the players. It was the drunk driving episode.
Yeah. You sold the fake ID.
Yeah, it was... You know, that's what's really special about my one-man show.
Yeah.
Which,
by
the way,
my one-man show goes back to that time.
Oh, hell yeah. Tonight at the Asylum.
Yeah. So you talk about 21 Jump Street. You guys have to realize how special and exciting Hollywood was in the late 80s. You know, you got Johnny Depp, you got Brad Pitt, you got David Arquette, you got Patricia Arquette, you got, you know, that whole, you know, you got... the whole Molly Ringwald thing, we came off of that. And it was like, when I got that spot, that guest lead on 21 Jump Street, it was such a big deal for me.
Oh, my. I can only imagine.
Because,
I mean, what a cast
because
in general.
21 Jump Street was the fucking shit.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp was the man. And I got to go up there and film this fucking episode with him. And it was a big episode.
In Vancouver, right?
In Vancouver, yeah. My audio got fucked up on the speakers.
Jacob, can you help him out?
Jacob, you gave me the speakers with AIDS.
Jacob.
Real nice, Jacob.
Thanks,
Jacob,
buddy.
Come on.
But yeah, it was such a... Hollywood, it was such a special time.
Yeah.
You know, to be just auditioning. You know, like just, you know, your agent would fucking like send you, they were called sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they were called. They were called sides. And you're like, what is my part? And you go through it and you're like, yeah. And then you get your highlighter. And you call your acting coach. I'm like, yo, I got this audition. And you go over there and you work with the acting coach and then you get it and what you sit in your fucking car.
Well, because you're also fighting for, at that time, what was it? At that time, probably four networks. Because that was Fox. That was like one of Fox's like kickoff things with 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
So it's
just
like
the whole process.
So four networks.
Because
of shows.
I auditioned for 21 Jump Street. It wasn't like they just gave it to me. I sat in a room with other actors. So my point is, it was such a I don't want to use the word naivety because that's not really a word, but it was such a your doughy eyes,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and it was this dream,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and then every time I landed a role, and you know what's really fucking cool is I did a there was a movie called Parenthood. You remember Parenthood with Keanu Reeves?
Absolutely.
Well, there was a series called Parenthood.
I remember that.
So I got the part of Keanu Reeves on the series on NBC. To play, you know, the Keanu Reeves role. And my girl, I had a girlfriend, and guess who played my girlfriend's sister? Fucking Leonardo DiCaprio. So I became friends with Leo.
And Leo was right off of Growing Pains, right?
Yeah,
then,
it
right?
was right around that time. So if you Google Pauly Shore Leonardo DiCaprio, I taught him about sex.
Nice.
Damn, dude, the weasel engineered.
Yeah, and Leo's like such an awesome guy.
He's your super soldier.
He is such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And every time I see him, he kisses me and he hugs me and he doesn't forget. You know, he's like triple homie.
Classic pussy crusher, too.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard that Chaz Palminteri, you know, is friends with Chris DiStefano, mm-hmm. played his dad in a pilot or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, Chaz is close with Leo or whatever. And he said the same thing that
sweetheart.
Like, Leo goes out of his way to be like, Chaz, how you doing? You know what I mean?
That's got to feel great,
and
too.
And Chris DiStefano's got a great story of like trying to hang with Leo. And Leo's like, I don't know this fucking guy. Who are you?
We went, when you left yesterday, we brought up the, you know, whatever the internet's version of like your like biggest hits of girlfriends or girls you were like linked to. Mm. And it is so funny the difference in like, childhood like memories, like how dirty we were as children. I had with Lewis.
Yeah.
Lewis lost his mind. Well, Lewis lost his mind at like and was blown away, as we all were.
Because Lewis and I were the same
of age. Tiffany Amber Thiessen said.
Mm.
And then, but it's just funny again, our age difference and everything of him, because right next to her, one of the people was Savannah, porn star Savannah. And I was like, he was like, Kelly Capel. I was like, Savannah?
Yeah.
It's such like two different things. I'm like, oh yeah, no, Kelly Capel, that's great too. But Savannah, dude, that was great. And then when it said Savannah, I remember, was that an MTV award you guys went to? Is that what it was? Because she was the famously in the see-through outfit. I mean,
yeah, she was.
When you show up,
gorgeous.
When you show up to pick her up to go to that, right? And then she comes out in a see-through outfit, are you like, all right? Are you like, oh, what?
No, I'm like, I'm like rock and roll. My mom liked her outfit even more.
Yeah.
Really?
My mom was like, that's fantastic. My mom loved her. It was funny. She came to my house dressed like that, and then we took my mom's limo. It was me, my mom, and Savannah. We went to the MTV Awards.
That's great.
Together.
And Savannah.
Yeah.
Mom, this is Savannah. I like when you have a cool, I have a cool mom in that regard, too. I mean, when I was in the Mayhem Fest, that music one, there was a girl, I think, yelled that out, that she could like queef on command.
Okay.
Wow.
And then I brought my mom over to put the microphone. I go, I have to listen to this, my mom, or she's not going to believe
hilarious.
Me. My mom leaned down and hear this lady queef, which is pretty, that's awesome. Your mom would be like, your mom knew what her living was, I assume. Didn't give a shit.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's
my mom actually really wanted her to be a comedian.
Really?
She was funny, dude.
You know, it's funny
Savannah
that happens
funny.
Now. There's a lot
Savannah
of people that go
for funny. For those of you people who don't know Savannah, she was a very, very famous porn star in the 90s, and she killed herself.
Yeah.
She killed herself at 23. It was fucking sad, dude.
Jeez,
really
that is.
Fucking sad story.
Very young.
Yeah, the porn world's an odd life.
Yeah, she was such a good person, and she was cool.
There's very few documentaries about the porn world that were like, it's all awesome.
Yeah.
I'm watching the thing on Netflix right now. What is it? The
Orgasms,
the,
Inc.?
No, it was.
That's where I started.
No, it was the fucking the bodybuilder chick.
Oh, Killer Sally. Oh,
yeah, Killer Sally.
Yeah. What a fucking crazy story that is.
I still got the third episode to go.
That's where I'm at. I'm about to go to the third episode.
I just finished the second one. It's
basically a commercial for what steroids will do if both people in the house are using
them. Dude, that scene where she's like, yeah, I took the kids to Tijuana, and you're like, damn, that must have been a party.
Steroids.
Yeah.
What's weird is how they edited it. They're like, edit it where he's like a piece of shit for the first episode or two, and then she's a piece of shit, and you're like, who's the piece of shit? Like,
by the way, I like that they don't give her, and if you watch the documentary, you'll see.
You watched all of it?
I saw all of it. There's only
how many episodes?
Three. It's only three.
Okay, because I got one more tonight.
Hilarious. It is so funny, though, that they, like when they call her on something, like she asks them, they show her in the show, ask more than once to let's not talk about this.
Yeah.
And then just leaving it anyway.
Yeah.
Because she goes, they kind of ask her, like, you went to Tijuana? Like, you brought your children over the border to go buy steroids in Tijuana? And she was like, yeah, I want to talk about that. Yeah, it sucks. Shitty parenting. I don't want to talk about that. But they just leave it in the documentary. She goes, cut that. She goes, cut that out. I don't want to talk about that. And they just
What's crazy for me is because I, because that era, that time, is all 90s.
Yeah, 95.
So I'm like, that's my era. You know, like that was my era. Yeah. So I'm like going, like, so many people, their lives ended from the 90s. They're all dead. There's not a lot of happy fucking stories.
No.
And the fact that I'm still alive after all the shit that I've been through.
Hell yeah.
Did you watch Kid 90? Did you watch Salil Moon Frye's documentary?
I did.
It was fantastic, I thought.
I did, yeah. I did see that.
It was a love letter, I felt, many ways, though, to the 90s. Even though it's like,
it
sort of sad
so
many ways.
So special. She had so much beautiful footage, and she I have all that footage. So
that's got to be.
I got hundreds of hours of shit.
I mean, yeah. You must.
Did you buy? Were you one of those guys that when
I had my recorder,
a handheld camera came
everything.
Out, you were like, let me get one, and I'm going to... So you knew to capture what was going
on.
Well,
I couldn't fucking believe what was happening around me.
But see, you know what's fun? Is, you know, and as someone that watched you go through it, as someone that like grew up watching you go through it, it's awesome to know that you felt that way, because it's kind of more rewarding when you were like... Because you were the stoner that everyone was like cheering for. We were like, fucking go, dude.
Well, didn't we start this episode, or is it maybe the pre-record we're talking about? There's still people who have, like, celebrities that we've known for a little bit, but, like, there's still a thing when you see them, like, how did our paths fucking cross?
Mm. Yeah, we were talking about that, I think, on the...
I think it was before the show. I think it was saying, even last night, I said I met you at Skankfest officially, and then
I was on this
yesterday.
Show, I think.
Yeah, I think it might have been earlier in this show. It's for some potheads we are. When we were seeing the show, I was like,
earlier,
I go, there was someone
with
Paulie sitting in the room and hearing you like giggle into the microphone when we made you laugh. And I was like, there's still a moment. You're like, when I knew about who you were, I was in a position in life where you were just like, why would we ever cross paths and be having a conversation? So it's cool moments.
Dude,
like that. Those are cool moments that I try to take for granted. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it's awesome you recorded all of it. It's awesome that you just have it all
big.
On.
I actually have a porno with me and Savannah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. But the good part about our porno is it's not like the Tommy Lee and Pamela porno, which is just them on a boat.
That's self-satisfying.
Exactly.
Anyway.
This is like we play characters.
Oh,
like
shit.
I play a plumber.
Okay.
And she plays like a horny housewife.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome.
That is awesome, though.
She was so fucking hot.
You know what's crazy?
My favorite
time
was
Savannah.
She was so fucking hot.
But you doing that, you have a porno with Savannah. But it's like you also being like, I wrote a song with Axl in 91, and we just have a little demo that no one's really heard.
Yeah, but I did this. I'm sorry, what were you going to say? Sorry.
I was just saying about Savannah. It's my two of the time were Savannah and odd one, Raquel Darian. A lot of people don't remember Raquel Darian.
Holy fuck, dude.
You know why?
She was on fuego, bro.
And I'll tell you what.
Bring up Raquel Darian.
You know what? But Dan, before he even brings her up, why do you think I liked her? It's one of the things
she
that still stands
hot.
By me. One, she's just gorgeous.
Oh. Yeah.
But Bush.
A lot of Bush.
Bush.
I know what
I'm
you're
a Bush
saying.
Guy.
Was she a vivid? Was she a vivid girl?
Yeah.
Maybe. The problem was she had a boyfriend most of her porn career and only fucked him, and he looked like a dildo.
Wow.
Like it was, but she only.
Hey,
remember that porn
the,
star Gage? That porn star Gage, same thing. She only fucked
you know,
a boyfriend.
Now that COVID is over, or there's, you know, obviously no one's except for in this room. And I'm just kidding. No, now that it's. Oh my God, this chick was. Oh my God. I think I hooked up with this chick.
I believe it.
I think I did.
You and David Faustino, more than likely.
Whoa. This chick was so hot.
But that beaver made me so happy.
But
you only fucked that guy. Derek Lane. I remember his name because I hated it like it was a boyfriend of my ex-girlfriend.
No, but the CES, what's it called? The porno, AVN?
AVN, yeah.
It's this year again in Vegas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We should set up this show there.
Oh, buddy, that would be the sick, AVNs dude. In a heart.
I mean, Jay's built to do the AVNs.
But why don't we set it up? Why don't we
Not host it, but have the radio show.
Oh, no, the radio show down
there. I'd love
there.
To do the radio show. I've talked to
that
David Tell.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I've talked to David Tell about hosting it before. I was like, I'd like to throw my hat in the ring for that. He was like, you won't like it. And I was like, no, dude, it's the AVN Awards. I love porn and everything. He goes, you're not going to like us because your instincts as a comic is going to be to go out there and ball bust the whole situation. He goes, and they take it crazy seriously.
Yeah.
Like they take it, so it's like you can't go out there and make fun of the bit. He goes, so if you're going to go out there and make some joke about like all the sad dads that are at home right now with the, you know, whatever, they're going to be like, don't bring up our dads. Like,
don't you
he's like, they'll immediately just shut down on you, know.
But
like,
I
you gotta really
you guys,
pay homage.
But I think you guys, I think I get what Attell said, but don't go host it.
No, I'm interviewing
saying,
wise,
bring your show here down there, or,
agreed,
and then sit inside the convention. And then
interview
the girls.
Walk by.
Be fucking hilarious.
You're like a roller. You
guys
got like
would
a you
perfect.
You know that like music. You know,
no, well, I don't know the current. The current I'm
that's
bad
true.
On,
that's
but
true.
I am. Remember me and Dan over quarantine actually got to interview via Zoom. We had Ginger Lynn and Christy Canyon on together.
Oh, wow.
And we lost audio for a while, and Ginger Lynn just kept like lifting her dress up and showing her pussy, and it was wild.
She was with Charlie for a while.
Oh yeah, dude, she
was
in her time. She was humongous in porn of that. Christy Canyon too.
Like, now, when you would like in the 90s, right?
Different time of porn.
We're talking
different time.
You're running around like
why
porn...
was it so much better back then?
I don't know. Probably because
like
it was...
these chicks were like real. Like now, it's just anyone is.
Well, that's the problem is that the now it's like the floodgates have opened. It's like
right.
I said before about like the everyone watched MTV. Now, even like they say the ratings of any kind of show, like you know, the Tonight Show used to get 70 million people watching it. Now if you get like 9 million people watching it, you're nailing it. So I think at the time there was only X amount of people making porn, so it was like these like thing of stars, and those girls became stars because there was 20 girls in porn. And then I fell for it because the 90s also brought on my boy, I've never met him, but Ed Powers in the Dirty Debutante series.
Yeah.
And that ushered in the thing of like brand new girls will come do this for $400 and be on a compilation
what
video.
What about
of this,
Randy West newcomers?
I mean, up and comers.
He was a branch off of that.
It was a classic.
He used to fuck girls on Dirty Debutantes with it, and then he started his own new girls. That's how he got Jenna Jameson. Yeah.
Who's that? What's
Randy
that?
West.
Randy West. Nothing. fuck yeah. Dude, scream.
He's great.
Yeah.
His dumb furry gray chest. Oh.
Howard Stern used to have that guy on Nick Manning all the time that says the words dropping loads when he comes.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, dropping loads.
I mean,
take it out of
insane.
It.
But
and
the girls
watch-
back then were like, it was, they came out of the 70s where it was just becoming like legal. And then in the 90s, they were just fucking stars. Jenna Jameson was breached porn and was a mainstream star.
And then your producer's name, what's this gentleman's name? What's your name?
Black Lou.
Okay, so I could say he's black. Is that okay?
You can.
It's in the name.
Well, yeah, that's good because I wasn't going to say it. Listen, so what I was saying, because when I was growing up, you know, the black guy would just kind of come in at the end of the porno.
Sure.
You know, like
well,
behind the green door.
Him.
What?
Nobody can follow him.
Hey, he's closing
that's
out.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then it would be like white dudes, and then Big Lou is his name?
Black Lou.
Black Lou would come in with his, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, have you seen this website, black.com?
I mean,
seen it.
Jay does art coordination for them.
I think I have a... I think Maitland Ward came in and gave me a lifetime membership to it or something.
Jay knows
I mean,
their
is
entire
this insane?
Product.
Oh.
I mean, ask Black Lou. Black Lou, have you seen this website?
Oh.
Yes, I frequent it nightly.
You sound like a white guy. Anyways, we should get a real black guy in here. Yeah, motherfucker. No, but you see it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So what's up with that? There's like four or five black dudes just tearing up a white girl?
Well, what they're making up for, like, I'll tell you what they're making up for, genuinely, because this was a thing back in the day. The problem was girls at a time, if you did interracial porn,
yeah,
it like property,
Christ.
It lowered your value.
Yeah.
Like, so they would, I think the highest paid girls were girls that did girl, they said, for a while. Yeah. And then the big move was like the money up was to go to do guy, girl. But if they were doing interracial, it would be like, now it's, I believe, what makes sense to me is the most popular porn.
Is there like a porn real estate agent where she's like, it went down, there's been some black action.
I invest in the fantasy of pornography in the fact that like I like to watch interracial porn because I'm like, I'll never see a woman's pussy split open that wide in life for real.
Yeah. Oh, you take a scientific approach.
Yes. Thank you, Dave.
Got it.
It is science.
But does it make you feel like less kind of adequate in seeing that fucking huge black cock and these white girls?
It's an unachievable goal. You know what I mean?
Why is he laughing? But I mean, am I right? Get on the mic, dude.
It's like being jealous of
DJ
Lou.
DJ Lou, what do you think?
Yeah, Black Lou is looking at DJ Lou.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it makes me feel more inadequate.
Yeah, like there's no way, right?
Do you steer clear of black dicks in porn?
I told you my girlfriend when I first met you guys had only dated all black guys before me.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I saw this one.
And you could tell because your wiener was in there like the dinger on a dinner bell.
He put a 2x4 on his back so he doesn't fall in. I saw this one porno with this black guy having sex with this white girl. I couldn't believe it. His dick was so big it went through her body and his helmet came through her mouth.
It was good.
It's like a swallowing a sword. All right, let's switch subjects.
Well, they used to have, please. That was also the funny when they had the two black guys at that website where they wore fake black dicks that were like 3 feet long. Those were such hilarious.
Like prosthetics?
Complete prosthetics. Just flat out fake.
Just to scare people.
And
on
they
the
also,
internet?
What they did was, I guess it, within the contraption of it, was like a tube pumped in. So when they... You don't remember these? When they would come, it would be like, it was just like shooting milk out of a fucking cannon. You don't remember this? It's like Conair.
I bet special effects guys, like in porn, probably in the 90s when special effects started getting decent, they were like, oh, if you hire one special effects guy, if a guy can't get a hard dick.
I'll tell you a pornographic heartbreaker. Heartbreaker for me. I got the first DVD that was Jenna Jameson, but it was like on your
her
DVD remote control, you could change like angle, you could choose, it was like a choose your own adventure of porn. Yeah. But it was all point of view, which I think sucks anyway.
I had to wait till PlayStation 2 came out to watch those.
But because it was point of view, one of the points of view you can just be like focusing on like the dick getting ready to come, and you could tell like they didn't like wait for it to look the line up well, so whatever they're shooting that big fake load out of, it would like come out of like the side of the dick. It just was wrong, and you're like, oh, that's like not real cum. I don't know why that bothered me.
In SNL, where they fake throw up.
Yeah, they hold their hands and they're like,
switch subjects.
Okay.
Now, no more cum?
No more black penises and white girls. Which
is it getting hot in here?
Yeah.
It's getting too sultry, dude.
Too sultry. It's getting too erotic. We only have you for a few more minutes.
But I mean, we're good. Like, growing up around the Comedy Store, mid-90s, would that be like your safe haven? Would you go back there and just hang out?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've been there since I've been four.
Yeah.
So I've been there my whole life.
Yeah. But in the height of the MTV stuff, were you there still regularly?
Yeah.
Really?
My brother's got footage of me, Sam Kennison, and Andrew Dice Clay, and my mom hanging out the front bar.
That's awesome.
Like,
that's
it was fucking, just fucking chilling. Yeah.
Again, before those two were arguing?
It was probably right before that time.
Yeah. Because then they had like a very public weird thing. It was just the two rock stars of comedy. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was all like kayfabe, like organized, like that feud.
That was so
big.
Well,
Sam fought with everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Sam would just, I mean, he started shitting on me.
Really?
Big time, yeah.
Really?
He called me the Gilligan of the 90s.
Oh, fuck.
On Arsenio. It was fucking hilarious. No, because I'm on there, again, I'm the peace guy. Hey, old bro, come on, peace. And I used to do Arsenio a lot. I was always doing Arsenio. And I was on there, and this was right in the middle of the Dice feud.
Yeah.
With Sam. And I'm like, I just want to say something. You know, like last night I was like all nice to you guys and you were like, get out of here, homo. Whatever you
Lewis started chanting gay. He said he goes, I'm really proud of what Skankfest was and what you guys did is really amazing. And Lewis just started a gay chant in the room.
You know, I was, how hard do these guys work? It's
crazy.
Like fucking insane.
Lewis,
there's thousands of fucking crazy people at his throne.
Is an orphan and doesn't know how to accept goodness in his life.
There's no love. Yeah, it's hard to accept love.
I'm not kidding about that. He's had a hard time letting people in. So whenever that emotion you felt, when he said, when Pauly Shore said, I'm proud of what you guys did that night, he felt an emotion and then just started yelling the word gay. That's how he works. Right. That's the
It's kind of like him throwing the newspapers at the fucking yeah. thing, right?
Yeah. That is the enigma that is Luis yeah. J. Gomez.
He's hilarious. So I basically said, I wish Sam Kennison and Dice made up, you know, they're my brothers, da, 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 da. And then fucking Arsenio said that to Sam, and Sam's like, oh, you know, on the show.
Yeah.
And says, Pauly Shore was here, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he said, you guys should make up. And Sam's like, oh, Pauly Shore, the Gilligan of the 90s? Really funny, dude.
You're trying to make
things
better.
He was shitting on me.
Yeah.
So my point was, he died right when I became super famous.
Right when you became famous, really?
He died in like 92. And that's when like Encino Man and all my, I had my run of films. And he died, so he never got to see my movies. He saw my MTV show, and he was on my MTV show a lot. I got a lot of footage with me and him fucking around. I have also me and Richard Pryor.
That's
on
my
MTV show.
I know your mom meant the world to Dice, like also, yeah. So that'd be a real thing.
And you probably, when you were young, got to see like prime Pryor. That's
another thing with me. I hate when people ask me who my favorite comedian is.
You can't do that.
Because it's just, to me right now, yeah. It's just Chappelle and everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, and I mean everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Chappelle, yeah. And I think everyone else. That's the first thing. The second thing is you can't ask me who my favorite comedian is because I sit in the back of the Comedy Store, and I was just there, 2 weeks ago, just sitting there watching comedy, and I'm just staring, and they're killing. Because my vision of that room is Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
My vision of that room is Robin.
That's insane.
Fucking Roseanne.
Late Night Kinison.
Yeah, that's what I remember it being.
Yeah.
And it's completely
crazy.
Different.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. And
it was
saturation. I would watch like D'Elia in the main room just kill. You know, kill. A couple years ago, I used to watch him just kill. And I was like, yeah, he's funny. But I used to watch fucking Eddie Murphy on that stage.
It was
fucking insane, dude.
And what is, at a young age, you got
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, it was like, you know.
What's one of the most memorable sets that you remember from back in the day? Like a set, like a Pryor on a Tuesday or some shit.
Well, I think, yeah, like you just said, Pryor on a fucking Tuesday.
You just watch him go up? And
yeah, he would come up and he would just bomb for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He would just kind of like really bomb. Like, you know what I mean? Like. Yeah, he would bomb for a while because he would develop his act. And then about 3 months later, he had 45 minutes of the fucking best shit ever.
So
he literally like would craft. He knew how to craft. Like you and I, or at least me, I can't fucking come up with 45 minutes like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and just do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Unless, I guess you could try.
I mean, we could all attempt to do it, but it's not the way I work, for sure. And it's impressive when they do, when someone goes and really, like, grind. Louis C.K. does it. You know, he just, like, puts in the work, like, works the bits out. They don't do well for a little bit. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, I should go up there right away and be like, I want it to be good before I say it.
Yeah, it's the self-pleasing nature of it. Like, you just want to please as
but,
a comic.
Yeah,
like.
But also Eddie Murphy was pretty fucking remarkable.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he showed up from New York. I mean,
yeah,
did he just show up at the store like, hey, yeah, this guy from New York?
No, he was famous.
He was already famous when he came to the store.
Yeah, he was famous off of his movies.
Yeah.
So he'd roll in. He always, it was to me, he felt like the Shah of Iran.
Okay.
But I'm not kidding.
Yeah, like they roll out the carpet.
No, it was like all these Rolls Royces.
Really?
Yeah, he had about six. So him and his boys would go to like a club. You know, like a club, and Prince would be there and all that shit.
Oh,
and then he'd be
yeah.
like, yo, I'm going to come to the Comedy Store. And the Comedy Store would get a call, like, Eddie Murphy's coming. So then they would roll in, like, six Rolls Royces. And then he'd get out, and he looked like the guy from fucking Delirious.
Yeah.
You know, he had the fucking thing on, and he would just walk on the stage, and it was like, it was fucking just like,
and now,
Jesus Christ.
And now, with just the times changing, like, that situation happens, and it's like a YouTuber pulling up. Or like a TikTok star.
No one's real. Yeah, they
not
yeah,
the same, but you know what I'm saying, though, the same kind of like, they're going to come over and do, and people are like, oh, shit, it's that person with 2 million hits on their TikTok thing.
But yeah, wild. So that's kind of how it was, and he was just, you know, and then I would say George Carlin. Yeah. As another guy I would just fucking see go in there and just
working
like,
out.
Working it.
I mean, that's
and the... he would just, Wes Craven was my neighbor and he nice. Fucking hated me. I'd have to say that he didn't like me too. I mean, he liked me, but he didn't like me. But every time George Carlin would play, he would always say, hey, can you get me into fucking, and I would always hook him up with tickets.
That's fucking great.
Wes Craven.
Yeah, dude. We had a lawsuit and shit.
Really?
Yeah, because my fucking, my sprinkler system broke and it went on his property. If you Google Wes Craven lawsuit Pauly Shore, it's probably on there. And
that sounds like the most Los Angeles, that's like the most Hollywood lawsuit of all time.
It was so dumb.
Your dog keeps shitting on my lawn.
Because it is real neighbor, it is real neighbor shit, but it's the guy that directed the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. Oh, it's the master of your nightmares, Wes Craven.
But he's mad about my sprinklers. Oh, hey, what's up, dude?
Who's that?
TJ.
TJ Miller?
Yeah.
Tell him what's up.
Should we just rock this out? Should we just all hang?
Yeah.
Yo, what's up,
TJ?
Hey guys, real quick, let's talk about one of our awesome sponsors over here at the Bonfire, and of course that is Metro by T-Mobile. Listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, calling customer service and trying to sign up for a new program or plan or any kind of subscription, and you get a whole bunch of nonsense and long paperwork and contracts you can't get out of, pricier subscriptions, subscription prices going up. I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like when companies have those sneaky gotchas hidden deep in the fine print or bills that seem to keep going up for no dang reason. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have elsewhere and your seat probably reclines. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included. But listen, you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and no yada yada. Nada. Yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide right now.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
One of five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Who's A?
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Bueno note, buenos aires.
Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is just better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Non parliamo molto bene.
Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold, and all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Hello. Hey, you know how you say no?
Go on.
No.
Hey, I'm going to write that down.
I am learning Italian off of Babbel right now.
Nope. Hola.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, you get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/bonfire. Get 55% off at babbel.com/bonfire, spelled BABBEL.com/bonfire. Rules and restrictions may apply.
TJ Miller is coming to hang out. He's promoting his new special Dear Jonah on YouTube and the Best Medicine Tour, Doing It Right, November 10th through 12th at Jacksonville at the Comedy Zone, and November 13th in Mobile at the Alabama Music Box. TJ Miller does not have a website.com. What's up, TJ?
Don't forget,
it's free tonight to go see Pauly Shore.
Go see Pauly Shore.
Say at you came from the Bonfire.
At the Asylum NYC, 307 West 26th Street. Doors are at 9, show is at 9:30.
One-man show, stick with the dancing, stories from my childhood, which has to be.
It's pretty fucking wild.
Do you have any, do you get, like, it's a comedy show,
no, it's
obviously.
Pretty, it's serious and it's heavy.
I was going to say, yeah. Do you get like emotional telling it still?
I get exhausted after. I'm like exhausted because I did it last night. So it's hard for me to go to sleep. I have to take like a fucking Ambien or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's basically, you're basically opening up a Band-Aid. Right. You're opening up a Band-Aid to like talk about your childhood.
Yeah, old
and
shit.
Then, and it's fucking, you know, and then I talk about my parents dying and all that shit. So it's pretty tiring.
I saw somebody, talked to somebody, what's up, man, that had seen, I think you were warming it up, probably the Comedy Store. Mm. And they said, yeah, it was pretty heavy. It was funny.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you had moments where you're sort of
practically
I'm
very saddened
down.
By my parents being gone. It's very hard for me. It's even though they died at they're older, but I was my parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, someone else's parents dying where like, oh fuck, my parents died. Like I was my mom and my dad.
Sure.
And I'm still fucking hurting from it. And my sister died. You know what I mean? All these people died. My best friend. All this shit happened in a year.
Fuck.
So it was just, you know, not to play a victim or anything, but I was really close with my parents. You know, my mom and my dad. Yeah, so.
I mean, I can't wait for mine to die.
Yeah, exactly.
I got one left.
Get rid of them.
Are you close?
I need that sweet, sweet cash, baby.
Are you close with them?
Not anymore. I'm trying to keep putting arsenic and old lace.
Okay, well,
I like to do an old timey.
Then you'll be celebrating.
Old lace. That's part of what I
like.
You'll
that.
Be celebrating.
No, no, I'm close to my parents. Although I did do a Sundance film. Yeah, they are called I'm Having a Difficult Time Killing My Parents.
Okay.
It's a short film.
I haven't seen you since your Christmas movie or something.
Yeah, Office Christmas Party. I'm writing another Christmas movie coming up.
Nice
you know
to
what?
See
I wanted
you.
To say
well,
I'm
nice,
so glad.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
I always like this guy.
My Pauly Shore story is one of the many. But so you were the first person that I saw after Donald Trump won. And by that, I mean the first comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really strange because I think all of us were reeling from the how is this going to change stuff or what's going to happen, who's going to. I remember when he won that night, we were on Silicon Valley and Kumail Nanjiani was just like totally fucking. He was just flattened and he was like, everything's different. Everything's different now. Everything's different. What we have to do is different. All this stuff. Everybody had kind of their own, like, because it was a total paradigm shift.
Sure.
And I know you were stomping for him from the beginning, but
Dan was boots on the ground.
I was in Florida.
On the ground.
I was in Florida in blue areas, really pushing. I knew those 33 were going to get us over.
We needed it.
I knew we were going to make America great again.
We were. It was already great. We were to make it greater. And so I saw you. I forget where it was. But I saw you and I was like, so what are you doing? Because you were on the road. And I said, what are you doing? Because I was on the road. And I said, are you talking about it? What's going on? And you had this like really calm approach to it. And it's really helpful because you're like, I make fun of them. I know them. And you kind of said like, I do really well in these red states. So these people are kind of supportive of me. So it doesn't really make sense for me to now and tell them what my thoughts on it are. You didn't say you're for or against, whatever. That wasn't part of the conversation. It was just, you helped me understand like, this is not your job to talk about any of this. And I think you talked about talking about the interactions that you've had with them because you did
with
you
Trump?
Know them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've known Trump for a while.
Yeah. And so that was just really fascinating.
You know who's,
it was very
all
calming.
About the base.
What I'm saying is very calming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was, you know, he'll be back again.
Yeah.
I guess he's coming back round two.
Mm-hmm. The sequel's coming, dude. They greenlit the sequel.
It's fucking.
It's out of the script.
I like
yeah,
this
idea. It's in production, dude. Yeah, it's happening.
I like when I get accusations of that when they go, the other guy who worked here at one point was like, you're Trump loving fans? I'm like, I don't know what my fans give us. I don't talk politics at all. I have no idea what
I'll tell you what our fans like Supernatural and CW.
They like the super show.
I don't know if they like Donald Trump. Can we talk about TJ just pulling out two phones out of both breast pockets?
Yeah, that was like John Wick of telephones.
Yeah, dude, Desperado.
Yeah, one's
things,
like...
Things are going well.
What are you, a CEO? You coming in here a Canadian
movie.
Tuxedo?
Yeah,
fucking two phones?
Movie.
You're dual-wielding iPhone 14s?
You know, to be honest with you, it isn't... Is it a Canadian tuxedo if they don't match colors?
I don't know.
You guys really do, though, have a real Denver thing going over
there.
Dude. Two Denver boys?
Yeah, we are both wearing Normcore gray shirts. This was my thing, but you know what? I watched
We
Soder.
Can breathe at higher altitudes.
I watched your... Yeah, you guys don't understand.
Paulie and I are a bit more of a showbiz, you know, eccentric. Yeah. We have a little bit of flash going on. on, some pizzazz.
Yeah, I think more Paulie does.
What are you talking about? Look at this.
Dude, he's pizzazz. He's either he's
you're dressed like an angry gas station attendant at 3 a.m.
But
it's more your style. You do have the pizzazz.
But I'll tell you
what,
because but that gas station attendant has pizzazz. When you pull away, you go, yeah, that guy had pizzazz. He shouldn't be working at a gas station.
And can get you meth after three questions. Yeah. I feel like you're the guy where I'm like, do you know where I can get some meth? You're like, I have three questions.
And he knows where applesauce wrestling is.
Yeah, there's
there's an employee now.
He's in his backyard at 11.
There's an employee, somebody who works at the Miami Improv.
Yeah.
Who now for the, I've only been there twice, and now for the second time has dropped in the conversation casually that he does meth, almost thinking like, I look like I either would do it with him or I have it also. Yeah. But it's the second time I've been there, and when he said it this time was what reminded me. I go, this guy brought meth, I think, last time too.
It's weird, right? Because it's kind of like, there are casual meth users, but I don't really know any, and they have to, you know?
It's a pretty it's heavy like
there
thing.
Are,
yeah.
There are casual heroin users. That is real.
I think for a time.
No way.
For a little.
Some people smoke heroin and don't, you know, especially people who can't afford to get more heroin right away.
Yes.
That's how you become a casual drug user at that level.
Where are you living now?
New York City.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing. And how's your, you're not in L.A. anymore, or you were never in L.A.?
No, I was in L.A. We didn't run into each other in Los Angeles.
No,
but,
Yeah,
but I live downtown.
Downtown.
Manhattan, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
That's the best.
That's cool. Do you kids?
What's that?
You have kids?
Four. Frozen.
No, do you have kids?
Yeah, four. They're all frozen. Live in Beverly Hills in a fucking tank.
Waiting. Just waiting.
Just waiting.
For someone to pop them into.
Damn, dude. I
yeah,
you're
surrogate.
Gonna, yeah,
it?
You're going to demolition man your kids?
I don't give a shit, man.
I'll make them whatever I want them to be.
Three daughters and one son. We did three cycles because both of us were like, we got to get that sweet, sweet son. You know?
Yeah. One.
If we just had daughters, we'd get rid of them.
Yeah, like China.
Yeah, right.
Dude, I love
China.
I love
no, we always keep it fine, so, China. We
gotta
never throw away those dishes.
So this is going live, correct?
Yes.
So he's got a badge that says I voted. Mm-hmm. So this is a big day.
Yeah.
So there's some shit. I mean, if we go home tonight, we watch CNN, we watch Fox, it's going to be 50-50. And then everyone's going to fight that no one won. And what's going to happen?
We don't really know. I don't know that it's going to be 50-50 on the midterm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this
one seems at least when every time you watch the news, they always say 49%, 50, like everyone is. It seems like it's close on everything.
Because they're.
I didn't mean to bring politics into this.
No,
room.
You weren't all that.
I just thought it was really cool.
You also texted me. You said I've got talking points.
Yeah,
and I said I don't even know what that means.
I put politics. I cut and pasted politics, 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 politics.
Yeah, you let it be known you were coming in firing.
Yeah, and then I was sad because you have an Android.
Yeah, I don't have an answer.
It's all
dude.
Green bubbles.
Fuck what you. Could,
that's hilarious. What,
fuck damn, you, dude. Dude.
Fuck you, dude. You know I have an iPhone 13.
No, I know, but it's like hand-me-down.
You guys are bullying me again.
It's your girlfriend's old phone.
It is. Were you texting really from your burner, from your Android burner?
No.
Your fiance's old phone.
My fiance's old phone.
Is that happening now?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Where's she from?
Boston. She's from Framingham.
Does she understand your Colorado?
She's
been to Colorado. She's
sports broadcaster Katie Nolan, dude. Yeah. From ESPN, formerly
ESPN. We don't call them broads anymore, Che.
Oh, shit.
Misogynistic
Sorry,
piece of
chick caster.
Yeah.
They're called. Chick-caster.
Oh, she's a sports dingbat.
Yeah, they're called lady talkers.
She's a vaginal talker, vaginal sports talker.
Yeah, dude.
She's a sports trollop.
That's exciting.
But she's been to Colorado.
She digs it?
Yeah, she loves it.
It was so funny. Because I'm from Denver. You're from right outside of Denver.
Well, you went to high school with my cousins.
That's right. I think you mentioned that.
Yeah, he went to high school with my cousin at East High School.
Isn't that weird?
Don Cheadle went there as well.
That's right. And Mary Pickford, the silent film star who helped United Artists with Charlie Chaplin.
You know who we got in Aurora, though? You know who we got in Aurora? We got Mr. Tim Allen. We got Roseanne Barr.
Oh, that's true, actually.
So,
and Roseanne claims Denver, kind of.
Yeah, but I think she was Aurora.
I went to school.
She started in Comedy Works.
I went to school with Richard Dreyfuss, Nicolas Cage, Angelina Jolie, Lenny Kravitz, and a couple others. Sorry. You guys go on.
But you're not. You're 90210 for real.
Yeah.
You have to understand, Colorado, we get Slim
Pickens. No, I'm kidding. You guys had some good celebrities, too.
I have a weird one. My school? Seth Green.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's a good
high
one.
School in Philly. Growing
That's
up in Philly.
That's fun. Robot Chicken. You like Robot Chicken?
I love it.
It's so fun, man. What a great thing to for him to like slide in. Like it's perfect.
I got to do an episode, and it was one of those emails I opened where I was like, I'm in love with this show.
Yeah, totally.
And they were like, come in. I thought I was just, they let me do two sketches on it.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
See, I would love to do that. I got to do an episode of Family Guy.
Did I see that?
And I thought it was going to be so amazing. For whatever reason, it was sort of a letdown. Like my part was funny, but they were sort of clear, like, you're going to do this and then you'll never be on the show again. Sort of a bummer.
I love all those, like American Dad. Love to do a voice on some of those.
Yeah, I did. That guy just American Dad's crazy. I did something on American Dad, but the one that kind of got me excited was F is for Family.
Mm. Oh, Bill Burr.
That was really cool because I think he's just so awesome.
Yeah, Paul, you have to have been animated in something before. They made an animated version of you in something.
Yeah.
What was it?
No, I've done a lot. I mean, I don't know. I just was it Family Guy?
Yeah.
They just did something on me.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They did. I'm the voice of Pinocchio. Okay. That just came out.
Hell yeah.
For Lionsgate.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was cool. And then I have a new animated movie coming out called, this is funny, The Big Trip 2, because The Big Trip 1 did so well. So they did the sequel.
Back.
Yeah, they did the sequel. So that comes out in December.
Hell
so
yeah.
I play a bear. So I work. I do a lot of voiceovers. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. Yeah. More, and you're saying when Family Guy did that, like someone
they
actually animating
about,
you.
Yeah. Well, no, they kind of spoke. They, I don't know. They talked about me. So, but then there was the Goofy movie, Leaning Tower of Cheat.
Dude, Goofy movie fucking rules.
Leaning Tower of Cheat.
It's one of the greatest songs from a movie ever.
Yeah,
you've done a bunch of
Yogi
Bear.
Do you guys think that we're here right now because we have the voices we have? Do you ever think about that?
No, if I talk different, if all of us had different voices.
Yeah, if you started to talk like this, to Dan Soder.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Dan Soder.
I'm right outside of Denver.
I grew up in Aurora.
I was talking about that I've done a lot of voiceover. I think, it's my voice. I feel
so does
very Paulie, lucky.
So does Dan. I'm starting to feel, now I feel intimidated in the room.
No, but you're great on the air. Like, I think that's a big part of why Legion of Skanks and when we did SCR together, like, I think your voice is specific.
I will say this, when I listen back to this show, I hate my voice. I'm very comforted by your voice.
Oh.
Yeah, you got a voice people can fall asleep to.
Yes.
Oh,
do what you want with that.
Combs and zing.
No, but it's, I was watching, I was doing whatever club I was at last, and it was my buddy, and we were watching this ad. They kept playing it during the football game over and over. Actually, it was during the World Series, and it was Carfax.com.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, like, this guy's voice is awful. Like, he'll only be able, because it's really high, and it sort of was really upbeat.
Yeah.
Because he had to do that, because he's lying to people and telling them they can finance a car that they can't afford.
Tell people.
So he sort of has to go, hey, look, this is great. Well, Carfax.com is one of the best. And I'm like, I'm taking your money. He can only do that voiceover. He can only do those types of voiceovers, where if you have, like, a gravelly voice that kind of is lower and up and down, it's like the Marlboro Man. I think Americans like that because it's sort of maverick, kind of anti-establishment. And I think you guys, both of you, have that voice. And I think you have a very versatile voice. I could see why you would do a lot of voiceover.
A lot of people don't know how easy voiceovers are to do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice way of kind of putting us all down.
It's so fucking easy. For me, it is.
Yeah. They give you so many chances. That's what I like about
it.
You can do 100
beep,
takes.
Beep, beep, boom.
Yeah. You say the line. Yeah, ADR stuff.
It's just easy.
But it is fun.
It is pretty easy, though, isn't it?
I think it's very.
Do you have a hard time doing voiceover?
I'm talking about the voiceover deal.
I'm talking about the technical part of it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as that goes.
We're gonna get TJ at a basement value.
I think the biggest thing is that you can take so many tries that I thought that was interesting. And you do a film and it's voiceover, you can really sit there, and I could do 100. So what I would do is I would do like 10, 20 takes of the line, and then I could just improvise line after line for as long as I wanted to. You can't do that when you're on camera. You get really
correct.
With Spielberg, you just get 3 chances. But most places, especially in television, they give you 5 chances maybe.
Well, I feel like one of my gifts with watching a movie or something is spotting ADR,
really,
like in a thing. I feel like I hear it so much. I feel like it's almost like someone hits a tape recorder when I hear it. It's never done great.
Yeah. And especially the joke, Like, a lot of times, if it's an off-camera joke with Kate and me, I'll always be like, that was ADR. She started doing it, too. She's like, well, ADR joke. I guess they need another fucking joke in there. Those pieces of shit.
I know.
And then she'll storm out and start kicking stuff.
Well,
set something on fire.
When I...
Fuck reference.
When I...
Colorado.
It's always... Colorado.
When I did a... Rocky Mountain High. When I did a Hustlers.
Yeah.
And I did... I was the strip club DJ. I had to... At the end of the movie, they said to me... They go, come in, do your ADR lines. But then we also want, because I'm the first voice in the movie, like introducing the girls, at the end they were like, oh, do some like just, you know, you're a comedian, which is always the pressure with that too. They were just doing ADR. They go, just run some like just wild lines and we're going to put it all in at the end of the movie. And it's just me saying things in a booth like this. And then when it plays at the end, I just, something about the, I hate the false of it. I'm like, they should have me do this like on set. Like,
yeah, but they, you
it's
know,
weird
they,
just hearing my voice just like saying about it. It's like funny stuff, but
they're different. Yeah.
I just know it's
in a booth. They need that. And then the audience doesn't know. They need an army.
I know.
But they're not in show business.
But the difference between ADR and and voiceovers for animation is completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
totally.
The ADR is, people listening, just because they might want to get into it,
sure,
is basically sometimes you do a movie or a TV show and the audio's fucked up and you have to go in there and kind of reenact it. But if you're playing a cartoon, you got to kind of create your cadence and your character based off of the way you feel that character is in the
cartoon.
By looking
at it,
and then it just, but it technically it goes three beeps. So it goes boop, 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 and you got to come in right there. It's almost like bungee jumping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
You
it's
have
a rhythm.
To go.
And you got,
you're kind of catching a wave. You're
Because
if it's already animated, then you got to like fit
into
it.
You fit into
that
it.
Voice.
And to me, that's so much fun. It's just, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's just fun. It's just
well,
like.
Well, you did say it was easy. Well, earlier.
For the car. Yeah, I'm saying it's easy. It's pretty
for the car,
easy.
What's funny
it's
is.
Well, it's easy for you.
Yeah, I have a good time.
You're a
doing
giant.
It.
When you do those three beeps thing for the ADR, when you're doing that over, it is funny when you just have like a part of a sentence.
Yeah.
So you hear yourself go. So you're already in like the movie or something. Going like he goes, well, that's not what I wanted to say, and you gotta go, fuck nut.
You gotta come in at
that's
the
not
end.
What I wanted to say. Fuck nut.
Yeah, it's too early.
Too
Jay,
fast,
can we do
yeah.
it one more time? Yeah. So it's that's not what I wanted to say.
Fuck nut.
Nah, it's too long.
Yeah,
it's
just,
we gotta go back.
Yeah, it also has to be like under 2 seconds, but more than 1.3 seconds.
Yeah, it's gotta be right there. I've been trying to say this, I got it, but I know we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I saw your special, and I remember as I was watching it, I really was like, wow. It was just very strange. You felt like someone I grew up with because.
Well, I had the joke in the special about my friends have a Colorado accent.
Yeah,
but
it was your just your style, and I thought it's interesting. I was like, this is so weird because I've never seen like a great comedian from Colorado. There just aren't a ton of us that are at a level where they're doing specials.
Yeah,
and so it's just I just want to mention that. That was so interesting.
Suck on that, Josh Blue.
And the way yes,
Josh
Blue,
cool.
Of course, Josh Blue.
I just want to say.
There's not many of us.
But you had it too good for too long, Josh Blue.
All the Grolics guys, I love you guys so much.
No, it's
you're fucking lighting some fires for me back in college.
Josh Blue, the free ride's over.
Apologies, Adam Kane Holland. But I thought, and here's what I'll say. First of all, Josh Blue just sounds like Josh Blue. But I think I really felt you had a Colorado style, and that was really interesting. And I told Kate that, and she was like, I can see it. But it's interesting. It is this kind of this like-minded thing that I don't know how to talk about with someone like
Big
J. Oakerson.
I want Josh Blue to get that thing when he goes, I'm from Denver. And you go, doesn't sound like you're from Denver.
Yeah, nice.
You know what? I'm kind of more Denver style.
He goes, is that the accent? I don't think it is.
But
would you say Ben Roy has like a Colorado style?
Well, he's from Maine. He's from Maine.
See, so there you go.
And then
Adam Caton Holland to me has more of a Denver.
You guys
Denver,
are from the same. Yeah, you guys are from the same neighborhood.
And we went to school together. He was right. Yeah, he's in the neighborhood adjacent to mine. So it was more, but you just felt very Colorado and I love that. So that's how I kind of got out of that, Big J.
Well, just for the record.
About that? Now
you
it
how
feels
Colorado-
like we landed right where I thought I was going to.
I'll tell you how Colorado he is. He
how about
looks
that for
exact-
some pizzazz?
He looks exactly like Dylan Klebold if you really take side-by-side pictures
Dude,
of him.
My senior high school photo looks like...
Sight-by-sight, laser sight-by-sight pictures.
I mean,
it's haunting.
Real Klebold look, this kid. That Denver look is bound to happen.
Big white
That's
guy from
Colorado.
Colorado
look, though. See, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. And always remember, you can go to SiriusXM.com/bonfire for a special offer to hear us on the actual radio as well.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.